Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 8, episode 19. And if you'll notice, I'm not Tim. He's not here tonight, but we do have Jeff, Steph, and myself. And we're going to take you through. Tonight, we're going to list, like last week, we did some top action movies. And who had the idea for this week's topic?
This was Tim. Yeah, because I think I was going to say for Mother's Day, we were trying to come up with something for Mother's Day that wasn't like exactly, because I think we've done before like best movie moms or something like that.
So worst movie moms and best movie moms. So yeah, we needed something a little more edgy.
Steph wanted to do our top five MILF porn movies.
I did not want to do MILF porn. I said, what I was saying is like the hottest moms on television or movies. So you know, like your Sofia Vergaras and whatnot. Like that's what I meant. Peggy Bundy, like the hot moms.
you're revealing a type.
Yeah, you know, a little statuesque. But Tim, he trumped it and he said, I just feel like it could be gross. It could really
be gross. Trump, that's probably why Tim bowed out. He's on Trump's live on CNN right now.
Oh, what's he doing?
He's having a town hall meeting.
Who's there? What town is this?
What is it? Have a town hall meeting with New York City.
That's what I'm saying. Where is this town at?
I don't know, but there's a 2-hour after show with Anderson Cooper breaking down everything that he says, even though the show is only an hour.
Oh,
the after show is 2 hours.
Let the circus begin.
Yeah, the after show is probably going to be going on for about a week.
Well,
that's where Tim is, everybody.
He's watching that. He's what he came.
He's trying to make America great again.
He's got his MAGA hat on.
Well, we're gonna talk about at Tim's suggestion. We're gonna talk about bad mothers. Now that means anybody that we think in Hollywood that was just a badass. You know, whether that's male, female, movies, TV shows. But if they were badass, we're gonna give our top five and see how that goes. But first, let's talk about our Patreons. Now, we just got finished doing our Barry recap on our Patreon show. Now, you can get to our Patreon show by going to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and sign up at the $5 level and above, and you can get that video every week. Now, we're doing Barry right now. We started doing Yellow Jackets and kind of, but we have some of those and The Last of Us. All listed there. So there's content there for you to get into. If you do sign up at the producer level, which is a $25 level, you can get a doodle from Tim, a t-shirt, some stickers, just a nice little pack for our producers at the $25 level. At the $25 level, we've got Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Tim Slayton, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, Matt Carter. Yeah, thank you guys for supporting us on the Patreon. It really helps, and it's growing, and we're seeing that. So big thanks to you guys for helping us out. T-shirts, we do have t-shirts in the t-shirt store. There'll be a link in the description below. We've got some going back 5-6 years. Got a whole catalog. One day we should do model shots of all these t-shirts. but check that out. Some plugs. Roby, longtime friend of the show, he has a YouTube channel called Chatting with Daddy, and those episodes are coming out every week. If you want to check that out, go to our page, and at the very bottom, you'll see all the pages that are associated with Radio Labyrinth, and he's listed there. You can click on that and watch chat with his son. It's a really cool show. Seeing, you know, documenting your child growing up is something I wish I could have done with my kids at that age. It's better than those photo albums that you used to have to peel the clear stuff back off and stick the photos in. But yeah, check that out. Also, this week on the podcast, Tim's other podcast and radio show on WSB podcast is up on, already. You can check that out now. And this coming week, he's going to have stuntman, actor, director Nick Decay. He talks about the WGA strike, the Writers Guild strike, AI, and a lot more. So check that out, 7 p.m. Saturday on WSB.
Yeah, we're going to have to find out what we're going to talk about when all our shows are gone.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a drought. I know they've stopped filming Hacks.
Yep.
Yeah, shut down most productions unless they're reality TV. Yeah, it's Stranger Things shut down. The Marvel shut down all their stuff. So yeah, everybody. I mean, and they need to get paid for what they're doing. I mean, they're the least looked after section of all of this. And what's funny is they're the ones that made streaming what it is.
Right. I mean, and when they striked last time, there wasn't streaming and all that. So
right. Yeah. And you know, they come out with House of Cards. You know, that alone, I think, made Netflix what it was as far as being a digital streamer for stuff. And then it just, you know, kept going. So these are they need to get paid what they're getting paid. Those CEOs making $50 million plus, if they just half all their salaries, which still would make them, you know, $30, $40 million a year, just half their salaries, and there you go, fixes the entire problem.
Well, I mean,
the whole Hollywood system is fucked up. Like, you got to sue somebody to get your money.
Beyond Hollywood, the government, you know, whenever the COVID thing, had they dispersed that money correctly, like decently, instead of giving it to a lot of people that didn't deserve it, we each would have got like $30,000.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how it should be. But yeah, they always give it to the people that don't deserve it. I think average Hollywood writer makes 60 grand a year, something like that. And their benefits are not very good.
And they don't want to be like gig workers where they get a job 1 week and then have to go and get another job another week.
Yeah.
And as the show is going on, they call them constantly for rewrites.
Right.
So it's like they work through the entire show, the whole filming of it too. It's not like they just write it and then they're done.
Hell yeah.
The Duffer Brothers said even though all the episodes for the new season are written already, it's a work in progress, and they have to have writers on the set while stuff's going on, just to keep everything moving properly. So they can't, even though they have these scripts in the can, they can't film without writers.
Yeah, I mean, they usually, it's something like, you know, you get set up and all of a sudden they lose a location and they've got to change from a football field to a basketball court. Well, you're going to write that in and make the different changes. And, you know, so it's part of the working cast and crew, continuity, everything else. So, I mean,
go ahead. Don't you want to bet they're just going to try to push AI harder to be able to write a full script?
Well, they are.
Have to give them any money, that's it. That's all they're just going to do.
They've already started. That's what they're doing. What they're going to do is they're taking AI and they're dumping all these scripts that they already have in possession of. I mean, you know, these are things that were turned in up to last week, could be things from 10, 15 years ago. But they run everything through AI. It generates out a script, and then they just hire either union or non-union. They'll hire somebody to come in and tweak it up, and then there you go. That's what they'll try to push through. So you're going to see a lot of crappy writing.
Have you seen that pizza commercial? The AI generated pizza commercial.
Yeah, I think I put it on the radio show. Yeah, it was
the quality of the shows we're going to be watching.
Yeah, or like there's a Bud Light one, not a Bud Light, but a beer commercial too, where it shows people in a backyard, and it looks like if you went to a family cookout in like 1986 and dropped about 4 hits of acid. That's what the commercial looks like. Like the beer is like shooting into their mouths from like 6 feet away. it's crazy.
How do you combat that? Because I know, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, he was a coal miner. My stepdad was a steel mill worker. Both of them went on strike on different occasions. And when they went on strike, if you tried to cross that picket line, you were going to get the shit kicked out of you. Or especially in West Virginia, you're probably going to get shot. And what can they do? Just try and infect these AI with computer viruses. Yeah. I mean, what can
Well, I mean, yeah, in a day and age when they're, you know, the picket line has become digital, you know, there's not a physical line to cross. So, yeah, I mean, somebody could just ghost write outside of union and get paid under the table. And that's what they're afraid of.
the audience is going to have to roundly reject anything generated by AI as far as entertainment.
The AI thing, the whole situation with it being, you know, brought into the industry. And I know Eric has been talking about it a lot on the Von Hessler Doctrine. It seems to be the subject that just keeps coming back up. And my opinion is, if anyone cares, is that AI is a tool. And as long as you have a person using that tool, guiding that tool, it doesn't really matter that what's coming from it is still coming from a person. You know, the AI can't generate, you've got to prompt the AI, you've got to give it everything that it needs to put the story together, but then you have to tweak it because it comes out, you know, anything you put in AI comes out strange anyway and has to be adjusted and mixed. So I think that if the proper people use it the proper way, it can be a time saver, but not lean on it for creative content. That's where you still need a person there doing it. But I think it's conceivably not a total bad thing.
These AIs are all prudes too. None of them will generate any porn.
Well, they put the safety measures on them, and it's like these blinders that they put on, and that's not reality. You know, that's not, you know, you're not going to have a Tarantino like storyline come out of an AI. It would stop in the first scene and tell you that, oh, this isn't, you know, politically correct or anything. But I think that is something that can be taken off of them. I think they put AI together and made it and gave it to everybody real quick to make sure that they were the first ones to do it. And now it's out of their control. Now they can't rein it back in.
That's what the one guy, he's like supposed to be the godfather of AI, that Jeffrey Hinton guy. He's the one who's really kind of freaking out about it because he feels like it has went way beyond too fast. All of this stuff should have taken a lot longer for us to get to this point. And he just feels like it's already run amok and that we are going to be in trouble if they don't dial it back. I think there was a whole group of computer IT scientists, whatever, they all got together and they did like some open letter. And
they shouldn't have called their organization Skynet, though, I don't think.
I think they'll look back on that in a few years and see that was a bad idea.
Shall we play?
We were kind of like the Cold War era and everything else. We were always, you know, we were taught at a young age that AI was one day going to take everything over and be the death of humanity. And we've seen it in movies like The Matrix and
iRobot.
Terminator 2 and iRobot and anything. Yeah, any of those all fall on that premise of AI being the big bad. And so that's how we've gone into this situation, at least of Gen X, you know, generation has. Whereas, you know, these new generations are looking at it like we would have if we hadn't have been warned about it for the last 40 years.
Yeah, I could see that. It's also how, like, they don't believe that their knees are going to start cracking like old aquarium rocks when they sit down someday. And it's like, no, they will. I didn't think so either, but they will.
Yeah. That's the whole crux of getting old. It's the whole high school mentality. You know, I call it the spirit stick mentality. Did you ever notice the spirit stick was only ever won by the senior class? And when you're a freshman, you're like, oh, the seniors won it. And you're a sophomore, you're like, man, the seniors won it again. And you're a junior and you're like, oh, shit, we're going to get it next year. And then that's it. You know, so it's pretty much the same concept. It's scary, but again, every generation, I guess, looks back on the younger generation and, you know, shaking your head. It's just we're not doing it from a porch. We're doing it from a computer. So
I just wish that we had our own planet. Just us. Just our generation. Not the olds or the youngs.
Yeah, Dustin, invent that portal from Quantum Earth so we can jump over to...
To Outland. Outland. Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know. I think the AI thing is, it's not, I think it's going to have to be reined in, and whether it's done by law or whether it's done by public outcry, something's going to have to give.
No, you know what's going to, something huge, horribly huge is going to have to happen. It'll have to launch a nuke.
When the Terminators start showing up and Arnold has to fight them all.
it'll happen.
And he's like, I'm not ready for this. This is not what I signed up for.
But you know what they'll do? They'll end up doing an overcorrection whenever AI does break bad. Then they'll just like take all of our internet privileges. Oh, shut it
away
down.
For them. Yeah, away. Oh, we had to cancel the internet so that it couldn't get out and infect everybody. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, all those conspiracy theories. You know, it was released as a distraction. You know, against Project was Bluebeam or all these UFO sightings are all just a distraction. It's like, what? Okay, great. They're distracting us from what? If this ain't open.
I get mad. I'm like, are they coming or not? Get me the fuck off this place. Let's go.
It's like, at least get a good camera. Like, get all these people like new iPhones or something, because there's got to be a better shot of this stuff. Or get them better software, because these guys can't make CGI UFOs for shit.
No, they really can't.
They're ripping off. I actually saw somebody try to pass off the scene from Signs, where the birthday party and the alien walks by. I was like, seriously? It's like, you don't bet that a whole generation knows what that is? Okay.
You know what I want more of? Pizza. I haven't had it in a long time. I need to make my way out there to get some. I want to say thank you to Atlanta Pizza in Euro, our longtime sponsor, and thank you to Mike Hall and everyone at the restaurant. Join APG for their weekly Tuesday night team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. and enjoy all 16 draft beer taps available, plus 40 other beers to choose from in bottles and cans, with a strong focus on Georgia and Southeastern craft breweries. Atlanta Pizza in Euro serves the best freshly made Greek and Italian specialties around in an authentic retro dive pizza place with a come-as-you-are, family-friendly atmosphere. I want to go in there wearing short shorts and no shirt. Come as you are, you can't throw me out. Maybe. I don't know. Dine-in and takeout available. Limited delivery is also available via Slice, DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. And the Hannity Express. Sean Hannity will bring you the food. Now, if you're a business or corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza in Euro by calling 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday noon to 9. Closed on Sundays.
Say hello to my little friend!
Get away from her, you bitch!
Ever notice how you come across somebody once in a while and you shouldn't have fucked with?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Ready your breakfast and eat hearty. For tonight, we dine in hell!
Mother's Day right around the corner. We decided to go a different route this year, and we're going to look at some badass mothers. And let's see, we all, like last week, we're going to do another top five. So we'll give our top five bad mothers.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for making it say this.
Thanks. All right. Jeff, what is your list?
Number five, I picked Marv from Sin City, Mickey Rourke's character. That's a badass.
Best character Mickey Rourke ever did,
yeah,
in my opinion. Just like the comic. I mean, just like the comic.
Looked great, such badass.
Number he's a two. Badass in The Wrestler too.
Yeah,
he looked better in Sin City.
Yeah,
for a pretty man as he was, yes, it's very sad.
Number four, I had a tie between Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
Ooh, who would win
in a fight?
Yeah,
Han Solo has the blaster, so.
But Indiana's got the whip. He could just like.
In a fist fight, I think it would be Indiana Jones.
Han Solo would have better burns.
Yeah, definitely.
They're both scruffy looking, though.
Who's scruffy looking?
Yeah, they are.
Number three, I picked Ripley, Sigourney Weaver from Alien and Aliens.
Love that. And Alien Resurrection. She's a badass in that.
Did they show it in the theatrical that she loses her daughter, or is that something they just save for the... Because I think that makes Newt a lot more important in the movie.
Yeah, that was in the extended.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's... Get away from her, bitch.
My number two is The Bride from Kill Bill. Beatrix Kiddo.
Definite mofo.
Fought her way out of that coffin.
Dak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a mess.
That still gives me anxiety every time I see that.
Oh, that trailer fight with her L driver. That's one of the all-time best fights. And her fight with Vivica Fox, too. That was badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the kitchen. Yeah, because, you know, everybody keeps a loaded handgun in your box of children's cereal.
Yeah. Oh, but nothing tops whenever she, what is it, the 88, when she, like, slashes all 88 of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And my number one was Rambo. So much they're still on.
He's your number one mofo?
He is badass. So many movies. Always a badass.
Very true.
First Blood's the best, though, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Out of all the movies that I think my favorite of him to be a badass would probably be Cobra.
Yeah.
Be a badass. Yeah. But my favorite movie with him really is Demolition Man. I love that movie.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll do mine. And I decided to go with all females.
Yeah.
It is Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
And I wanted to make sure that they were all mothers. And my number five, she was a mother, but her baby was given up for adoption when she was a teenager, and it is the serial killer Eileen Wuornos, who Charlize Theron portrayed in the movie Monster. And I felt like she was a mofo because she had a very hard life, and she killed all these men all by herself.
How did she get all those men? She didn't look like Charlize Theron when she was...
She didn't. Well, if that just tells you, she was a prostitute, and those guys went with her. They were probably going to beat her. I mean...
Yeah. Well, that first guy from Oz that played the fish in Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was vicious. Of course, yeah, she fixed that real quick.
Yeah. I mean, I really didn't feel sorry for any of these men. I mean, they all kind of had it coming, so, you know. But I thought she was a badass, really. She was a mother, bad mother. My number four is, I think, one of the ultimate bad mothers of all time, the Khaleesi from Game of Thrones, Mother of Dragons.
Yeah,
yeah.
And a vindictive, vicious biatch.
Man, she didn't forget shit. She remembered everybody that ever met across her and got them back.
She took out whole cities. I mean, yeah.
Towards the end, she was taken out, landing like it was,
everybody
burned it to the ground.
My number three is a more recent bad mother, and that would be the Cocaine Bear.
She was a bad mother.
Yeah.
She was a bad mother. That bitch. And, she was a pretty good mom, too. She made sure that they all got a piece of Leota's intestines. Everybody had some. Everybody got a lot of cocaine. I wish my own mother would have made sure that we all got enough cocaine. Who knows what we could have accomplished. My number two, Blue, and I struggle with this. I almost made her number one. I think she may be one of the most badass mothers of all time. Marge Gunderson from Fargo. This chick is like 8 months pregnant, just out here sleuthing on the trail, busting murderers, and, you know, all the while keeping a very pleasant demeanor. I mean, that to me alone, the fact that she was able to remain completely professional when I'm sure at that stage of her pregnancy, her hormones had to be going crazy. Not once did she cry.
Not yet.
all
not
business.
Even counting, not even counting getting the advances brought on to her by the guy from high school. Yeah,
Mike. I prefer if you sit over there.
It's such a pretty lady.
I mean, and plus two, I mean, it's freezing there. She's out here looking at dead bodies in the snow. And
they just got back in bed at the end of the day, like, okay, another case closed.
And a supportive wife to boot.
Yeah.
Super supportive. So anyway, Marge Gunderson is my number two. And my number one, and this is purely because, my God, this woman had her baby quietly, is Evelyn Abbott in A Quiet Place. I don't know how that would be possible, but not only did she have the baby quietly, she stepped on a nail and did not even scream.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, she has to be the, and you know, she saved her kids, you know, they figured all that stuff, which, and I'm also excited because they're, I don't know if they're going to halt it right now, but they were filming the prequel right now.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to seeing that. But anyway, that's my number one, Evelyn Abbott from A Quiet Place, the baddest mother.
My number five is Carl Urban as Judge Dredd in the new Judge
that.
Dredd.
When I was going to go men, he was going to be one of mine.
The good Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah. That rocks.
Yeah, his portrayal was, you know, gritty and authentic and was just like the comic book. I mean, he didn't take that helmet off the entire time. He was Mando before there was Mando.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my number five. Number four, Sarah Connor. Badass mom. She gave up her child and went to a mental institution to protect her kid. And
that's dedication.
That's dedication.
I mean, most kids send their parents to the mental institution just from their behavior.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, didn't have the best home life for sure in the foster system, but that was rectified. So that wasn't an issue.
She can help when the AIs come for us too.
Yeah.
Not just Arnold.
Yeah. We're going to have to find Linda Hamilton and get her view on this. My number three, a lot of people might not know this one, but for me, Shintaro Katsu is the actor's name. He was a 60s era Japanese actor, director, and songman. He was kind of like their version of Sinatra. He kind of did everything. He created a series of movies called Zatoichi. And Zatoichi was a blind, he was like a beggar that would just go from town to town. And all he had was a cane that he would carry. But inside the cane was a sword. And he was super fast. So all these movies, he would walk into town and people would make fun of him and they would beat him up and he would play along. But if he knew he was after somebody or somebody had found out about him, it was like he could see better than any person with sight. He was just, it was kind of like one of those first superhero kind of things. And they still run those Zatoichi movies on the Criterion section of on demand. So if you ever,
I think I've seen some of those, but I didn't know what they were called.
It was like 27 films, I think, he's in as Zatoichi. But great, great series of movies, and he was such a badass. My number two is Hugo Weaving from V for Vendetta. But yeah, he was a badass in it. I love the movies where the hero is so intelligent that it makes everyone else in the movie just seem that much slower.
Yeah.
And what's cool again about V and Hugo Weaving is you don't see Hugo Weaving for the entire film, kind of like Judge Dredd. And Mando, you know, kind of the same, that same faceless hero, anti-hero. This is my number one, and this is the ultimate bad mother, Snake Plissken, Kurt Russell from Escape.
That's one of my other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, Snake Plissken, I mean, that's the epitome of badass. I think there's like a blueprint set up somewhere where, you know, anybody that's going to be a badass has to pull something from Snake Plissken. Escape from New York, Escape from L.A., same movie, but 10 years apart or 20 years apart.
I disagree. Escape from New York is so much better.
Yeah, it's
come on.
I don't know. I liked them. I liked it because it was just as hokey. I mean, the first one was good and it had some 70s hokey stuff in it. But when the 90s one came out, it used the hokey stuff on purpose. It kind of pushed the ridiculousness of it to, you know, that Peter Fonda surfing through the valley and jumping over onto the car. That's, yeah. But it was
The first one had Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah.
It had a Cadillac with a chandelier in it. I mean, when I was a child, that was the epitome of, you know, wealth, was to have a chandelier hanging in your Cadillac.
In your Cadillac?
Yes.
Changing all them bulbs. That's a hard thing to do, is change all them bulbs.
I would stay up till like 2 a.m. if I saw Escape from New York was going to be on HBO when I was a kid.
Yeah, I had no idea some of that was filmed here.
And you know, New York was such a shithole in the 70s. I don't think they really had to change the landscape too much. They just filmed it the way it was.
Yeah, they didn't want it to look like everything. What, like the Warriors and like everything else that had been out from there. But so
that would be a fun rewatch if we ever actually freaking do this, where we're watching a movie. I think Escape from New York would be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, yeah, it would be a good one, and we'll have to end up doing that sooner or later. I know we'll get there.
So who wants to? Do we want to do Tim's real quick?
Now, number five, which I find amazing that he put this down at number five. Tony Soprano.
No, of course,
Sopranos. I knew that was coming, but it's kind of surprising it's in fifth place.
I'm surprised he didn't put Pauly Walnuts. I would have thought for sure he would have said Pauly.
Let's see. Number four, Ash Williams from Evil Dead.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
I haven't seen the new Evil Dead. I've heard it's really good, though.
Rise?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rise of the Evil Dead.
You haven't seen it either?
No, it's only in theaters right now.
They've got the first 10 minutes floating around, but...
Oh, they just dropped it this week.
Oh, it's dropped
for VOD?
Mm-hmm. You can rent it on VOD.
Oh, rent it.
Check that out. Let's see. Number three, RoboCop, Alex Murphy. Badass.
Definite mofo.
Yeah. Number two, he said pre-Disney Han Solo. So you got to put that caveat in there. Pre-Disney Han Solo. So that means, you know, like shooting Greedo and being a scruffy looking nerf herder.
Who's scruffy looking?
And Tim's number one bad mofo, John McClane.
Yeah.
Die Hard. Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I almost put Bruce Willis in, but it was one of those where I couldn't pick Bruce Willis from any specific movie.
Unbreakable would be a good one.
Unbreakable was good, but so was like...
Fifth Element?
Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was good in that.
His remake of Death Wish. That was like one of the last movies he did before things went sideways for him health-wise.
The last decent movie he did
was good as shit. I anybody that talked crap about it because it wasn't the Charles Bronson one or whatever, I thought it was great. I've watched it like two or three times.
Anyway, yeah. He was cool for what he did, but as far as being an actor, he was just,
I watched Beretta for the Bird. I don't know about you guys.
Let's see a guy squint with a small mustache.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Views.
All right, Jeff, you want to do views or snooze?
Yeah, last week was Bupkis, Silo, and the Game Show Show, which starts tonight, actually. The first Bupkis, it was very funny. Did anybody watch it?
I did.
Were you grandma's boys, Carmela Soprano?
Yeah, I liked it at the beginning. I was into it. And then as it went on, I got less and less into it.
Joe Pesci was really good.
Yeah, I want to see a show with just Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
That's what it made me crave, is because the only parts that I liked really were when Pesci was involved.
Yeah.
And when it's him and his stupid friends, I could give a rat's ass. The rest of the ensemble... not good. But I give Joe Pesci his own show. He could carry a show.
I'm going to keep watching it. Did anybody watch Silo? I watched the first one. Yes. That was very good.
Always the first one. It was good. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I could see why people are liking. I mean, it's just something that's decent that's on Apple for a change. You know, they usually about one in five hit pretty well.
I don't even have Apple TV right now. I just get a free, I start with the free trial every time physical comes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this week, Muppets Mayhem starts today on Disney Plus. I'm looking forward to this one. This is the new reboot of the Muppets, and Kevin Smith's going to be on it, and it's done by Adam F. Goldberg, the guy that did the Goldbergs for the first seven seasons.
Oh, okay.
So I expect it to be good.
Yeah, and I think he's looking for anything to get him past that whole Goldberg debacle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely give this one a view besides the Kevin Smith connection. Yeah. But yeah, I mean it's Muppets, so I always try to give anything when the Muppets come out with something, at least watch it and see if it's worth, you know, but still trying to support, you know, that whole family.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. And then Mulligan starts this week on Netflix. This is that new big animated show that's coming on in place of Dig Band, which ends this week. This is, this is on Netflix, so it's not on Comedy Central. But it's, Dana Carvey's in it, a bunch of other people. This is made by the guys that made 30 Rock and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I'll definitely check it out, and especially if it's that kind of humor, because we've been rewatching 30 Rock again. I think this is our third time watching the whole series again.
Dana Carvey's been talking about it a little bit on Fly on the Wall, not much.
What kind of animation is it?
It looks like the typical Netflix kind of animation.
Well, like that Bill Burr kind of
like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good. It's a views for me. And then Fear the Walking Dead, final season, finally.
How many seasons have they had?
I think this will be 8 or 9, but this is the last season.
And it's still going on. There's still, two other spinoff shows that are still active?
Yeah, there's still the Daryl show and then the Negan show, which I don't expect either one of those to last more than a couple seasons, if any.
I haven't watched Fear of the Walking Dead at all. So
you haven't watched Fear at all? It was always better than The Walking Dead, even when The Walking Dead was good, like the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Fear of the Walking Dead was better.
But then I guess they had everything down by then.
Yeah.
I wish they'd bring back some more of those, that's Tales of the Walking Dead. That was
those were
so
pretty cool.
Good. Yeah.
Like, were they like one-offs of what happened to different people?
Stories, yeah.
No, they didn't have anything to do with the show. It was all like an anthology.
Yeah, like random.
Just random.
Randoms, yeah. In that world that lived in, and it was just like every episode was like a Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
It was a decent show. I'm going to watch the Fear of the Walking Dead final season.
Let's see.
But that's just me. I'm probably one of the only people who still fucking watch that shit.
You got to give us like a big wrap up, like what we're over with. It's like, here's like 2-decade wrap up.
I've gone this far. I can't stop now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just got to finish to finish at this point. You just hate watching it.
Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? You need to contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. In Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366. That's 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Let's see. We'll do staff picks. I think there's just a couple here. I know.
I didn't list mine. I was just going to say it. I do have one. I do have a staff pick. And this is, it's a twofold thing. One, in solidarity with the writers, I am picking an old show that I never watched. So it's not anything in the future to be watched or anything like that. So, and also because I hate being old and I hate being poor. So I like to watch shows about people who are young and have money. So I'm watching The OC for the first time.
You never really? Originally
ever seen
it? I did not watch The OC. No, because I just watched Gossip Girl, all six seasons of that, which I did not watch. And then the creators of that was from The OC. When The OC came out, it was like 2003. I was, you know, early 30s. Thought I was way too cool, way too whatever.
The song that they used for the theme song. So I watched like the first season, but I never really got into it.
The California. Yeah. Well, I find it whatever that they also have cotillions in
Southern California, as opposed to down in the South.
Then, you know, instead of New York City, you know, with the upper crust or whatever. But I'm enjoying it, and I like to pretend that it's still 2003. I mean, I was kind of locked into 1984 for a while. You guys know that. Now, nice. I would just be happy to go back to 2003. I mean, the towers are down. There's nothing we can do about it. Okay. But things were still kind of okay for a few years, even with other horrible things going on. It still seemed normal. Like, life still seemed normal, even after that.
Where can you watch that? Is it on Netflix?
It is on HBO Max.
Oh, cool. My stat pick is still the Michael J. Fox movie that's coming on Apple TV this week. It's about his whole life and career.
And he did this one, right? He directed it or made it?
I don't know if he directed it, but he's fully cooperating with it. And
that's going to be a tearjerker.
Yeah. The interview was a tearjerker enough.
Yeah.
That he just did.
The one with Diane Sawyer.
Yeah.
Chain Polly or whoever it was.
Yeah, that was where he says he doesn't expect to make 80. And I was like, man, just that he's made it as far as he has with that disease is amazing.
He was 29 years old when they got diagnosed, so.
Yeah, he was filming Doc Hollywood when he got the diagnosis, and didn't tell anybody.
And he started getting sick during Spin City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to leave and let Charlie Sheen come in for the last couple seasons. I think it's going to be sad, but I imagine it's going to be hopeful a little.
Yeah. And as our generation, I mean, he's kind of up there. I think, you know, once Dolly Parton goes, I think Michael J. Fox is going to be the only person we got left.
Yeah, really.
Let's see. Now, I'll do Tim's. This is Tim's staff pick, and I'll just take it because I would want to watch it too. It's the Don Rickles channel on YouTube. His family has gone in and created this YouTube channel that's got like 30 hours of like never before seen shows and clips and, you know, how many, you know, probably a counter on there for how many times he says hockey puck.
They're trying to get him canceled posthumously.
Yeah. I think now it's just a big push. It's like, now you can't. So just, you know, put all those things back out there and show everybody what funny is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take it so seriously. But that's on YouTube, and that's the Don Rickles channel on YouTube. All right. Okay, Steph, what's going on with Parkville?
This Saturday, there will be at the Downtown Pooch in downtown Roswell from 10:30 a.m. to, I believe, 1:30 p.m. And we'll have a bunch of our pups out there that are looking for homes. Again, as always, now more than ever, we need you. If you have room in your house and in your heart, please offer to be a foster. If you're ready to adopt, please come and see us. Or if you just want to volunteer, help us at these adoption events. That's another huge thing. We need people to go and walk our dogs that are at boarding. That would be very nice if you could do that. Take them to the vet. So just go to barkvilledogrescue.org. You can fill out our volunteer application, the foster application, or if you want a dog, you know, if it's one that you see and you want to know anything about, message me on Facebook or Instagram. I'll find out everything you need to know. I'll do whatever it takes. And if you could do that, that would be great.
Woof.
Woof.
Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for watching. If you or watching on the YouTube channel, like, subscribe, hit that notification button, smash that subscribe button. You always got to say smash for some reason.
Which, yeah.
You know, I've never understood that, seeing what the new colloquial thing is for smash. See somebody humping a keyboard.
Do your keyboard.
you do your keyboard in the name of Radio Labyrinth. yeah, give us a like and subscribe on there. If you're listening to us on Spotify, rate us on Spotify, give us some likes, give us some stars. On Apple, give us a review. If you want to write a review on any of these, just put that down there, and I think we're going to bring back the review soon. So get those coming in. Next week, we've got a great show set up for next week. Everybody will be here, and we may have a guest next week as well. So until then, everybody, keep it
deep in.